Thank you so much, Pastor Joseph. He thought of us above all. I'd like to reinforce that thought for a few moments this morning with you, that in fact Jesus did put us before himself. The gospel writers remind us of a very unsavory fact about Jesus' crucifixion. As we read in our scripture, 1 Matthew 27, verse 28, Jesus was stripped. It says they put a purple robe upon him, but he was stripped of his clothes. And then later, it recounts that the purple robe was taken off of him, his regular clothes were put back on him, and he was led away to Calvary. And then in John chapter 19, we have recorded that when the soldiers crucified Jesus, what? They took his clothes and divided them among themselves, except for the undergarment, which was a single piece, and they gambled to see who would get the undergarment. And so Jesus, when he was crucified, Jesus was naked upon the cross. I have a picture that is atypical of the crucifixion from the early 20th century, but it's more accurate. Not more tasteful, but it's more accurate. Reminds us that Jesus on the cross was completely naked. It's hard to look at that picture, isn't it? It's hard for me to look at it. It's hard to think about it because of the shame, knowing that Jesus didn't deserve that shame, makes us want to turn away because there is that unescapable truth that he is naked and shamed on our account. And we are much more comfortable and much more used to paintings like this, are we not? Where squeamish artists have added a bit of modesty to what took place. But we know that wasn't so. That wasn't how crucifixion happened. We much prefer the second kind of paintings. Both for, you know, Jesus' sake, we don't like to think about him being naked on the cross, but then also for our sake, because then we don't seem quite as hopeless as the picture makes us out to be. But that avoids the truth of shameful humiliation. The shameful nature of crucifixion as a method of execution is directly related to the shameful conduct of the human race. as Jesus goes to the cross, he is denied even the last scrap of charity. He is not permitted a mask or clothing, a final meal. There is no chaplain to offer a prayer. For crucifixion was specifically designed to strip away every shred of decency, privacy, or humanity. And none of this is an accident. It's all connected to the depravity of the human condition. The price paid by the Lord is equal to the depth of human wickedness. Jesus was despised and rejected on the cross because he took upon himself all that was despised and rejected by God. And he took it for our sake. And you know the most amazing thing about all of this? As we think about Jesus on the cross, what he took upon himself and how he exposes himself, what is most amazing about this we find in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Just almost beyond comprehension, where we're told to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. Notice these next few lines. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Notice this next line. Scorning its shame. It's shame. Now, when you scorn something, think with me for a moment. When you scorn something, what is your attitude towards it? Some versions will say he despised the shame, which is to say he disregarded the shame. He ignored the shame. He thought nothing of it. Is that not the most amazing thing? He didn't think about what he was going through because of the end result. All he can think about is covering our shame. No regard for himself. His rights, his dignity, but rather he scorns, he despises, he laughs at the shame that he endures so that we can be covered. And so we must look and not turn away. For the crucifixion, the manner of it speaks to our desperate, our shameful condition. That's us. That's us. Without one thread of goodness to cover us. No way to make amends. We try. We can't do it. It is why Adam and Eve, we recall, after their disobedience, after their sin, they sensed their nakedness, their shame, and they tried to hide. Because of their shame. All through Scripture, we find that same picture, people trying to cover up. We come to Revelation 3 at the very end of Scripture, the church of Laodicea, and we see this deception taking place. People are saying, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing. And the faithful witness, Jesus, says, you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. In other words, in this shameful condition. It's interesting and worth noting, the Gospels, as we read through about the crucifixion, they do not dwell on the physical suffering of Jesus. But rather, it is the shamefulness that emerges. Because what he experienced was shameful. Because sin is shameful. Which is what we try to avoid. Not sin, but the shame. We try to avoid shame at any cost. To be embarrassed, to be called out, to have to face the music, we will avoid that if we can possibly help it. It's why Adam and Eve hid. Why we try to cover up. We pretend not to notice how pitifully dressed we are. It's why Jesus took upon himself our shame. Our shame. Now we say, I say, Jesus died for our sins, which is true. But that can be kind of an abstract, cold, emotionalist kind of transaction. He died for my sin. What is that? But then when I say Jesus experienced my shame, that he was stripped because I am spiritually naked, that tells the truth more vividly, does it not? Though not more tastefully. But there is nothing tasteful or presentable about sin and its shame. It cannot be dressed up. Romans chapter 3, we're very familiar with verse 23, but I would direct your attention to the last part of verse 22. Yes, the very last part. Paul says, there is no difference. No difference between Jew and Gentile. And you can put in there anybody's name. There's no difference between Henry and Cosley, between Dawn and Rebecca, between Jeff and Samson. There is no difference. It goes on, for all have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. There is no difference. And so, we could add to our theme, we are one in our state of undress. Though we try to cover up in many ways, we are one as we stand naked before God. And God, though, sees through our human designs and says, that suit, that dress is not going to cut it in my kingdom. You need to wear something else. George Orwell, the great British writer, I believe, describes an incident during the Spanish Civil War. Orwell was writing from the front lines that he saw a man from the opposing fascist forces jump out of the trench, run along the parapet, that low wall, in full view, presumably carrying a message for an officer. He had nothing on but a ill-fitting pair of trousers, which he held up with one hand as he ran. Orwell wrote, "I refrained from shooting him because I had come here to shoot fascists. But a man who is holding up his trousers isn't a fascist. He is simply a fellow creature like yourself, and you don't feel like shooting him." When God looks at us, he doesn't see titles, bank accounts, accomplishments, or even church membership. He sees frail, vulnerable creatures trying to cover up our spiritual nakedness by holding up our trousers. He sees our desperate condition and says, they need help. And then he chooses to bear our sin, our shame, our nakedness, so that we can be dressed and covered. We're very familiar with the story of the prodigal son, the lost son, who wasted all, comes back as a servant. Do you remember the first thing the father says to him? The first thing. He says, "Quick, bring the best robe. Put it on him. Cover my son. Cover his shame. Cover his filth. Cover his greed. Cover his unfaithfulness. Give him my robe." And so, at great cost to his dignity, to his reputation, the son is covered. We all need covering this morning. To have suits and dresses without any human threads in them. And not one of us is less in need of being covered than another. When we come to the table, we are not divided into an A list and a B list. It is one table, one gift, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Today we are called to remember that as Jesus goes to the cross, even his trousers are taken away. For as Isaiah says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, that is the shame, of us all.